Welcome to Once I Watched a Disney, a series on Disflix and Tidbits, where I bring on a guest and talk about a Disney movie from our past and try to remember all the little things about it, then rewatch it to see if the Disney movie has stood the test of time, a Disflix and Tidbits nostalgia experiment. I, of course, am Cassie, and since it's Once I Watched a Disney, that means I am not alone. For this week's episode, I have Corey from One Little Park on YouTube.
Hello, thanks for having me.
Oh, thank you for joining me. I'm so glad that we got together to do this.
Yeah, I'm really excited. It's been a long time since I've seen Aristocats, so...
Yeah, it's been a while for me, too. So why don't you introduce yourself to my listeners here and possibly talk about your YouTube channel or anything else that you have going on out there?
Yeah, so like you said, my name's Corey. You can generally find me over at Twitter, Corey P. Hall. And you can find me on YouTube, like you said, One Little Park. I just recently started the channel in January. And so I've been slowly, you know, kind of building a nice repertoire of videos on theme park, news, and history. I've really been focusing on history. I seem to, like, enjoy that most, and the audience seems to like that. But I'd like to continue exploring different avenues of all things theme parks, not just Disney. Universal too, got some local theme parks like Carowinds, and so that's really what One Little Park's all about.
Oh, nice. And it is a great YouTube channel, by the way, and I'm so happy that your channel is growing as fast as it is since you started in January, right?
Yeah, thank you very much for that. It means a lot. Yeah, I've gone from, I guess, 0 to 85 subscribers now, which is kind of huge.
Wow.
For me, you know, so... You know, it's hard to get subscribers on YouTube, so
yeah,
it is a big deal for me. 85 is a huge number. We're almost to 100, so
yeah, that's amazing. So congratulations on that.
Thank you.
And to the listeners out there, please check it out. It's called One Little Park. I, of course, leave all the links to Corey's Twitter and YouTube channel down in the show notes below, so please check it out. Please subscribe. They are great videos. What is your favorite video that you've made so far, Corey?
Oh, my favorite one. Is the Ghostbusters video that I did, I think, back in March. It was just the history on the Ghostbusters in the Universal parks, pretty much just Universal Orlando. When it opened up in 1990, they had a Ghostbusters attraction. And then over the years, they had several shows. And so as a kid, when I went to Universal, I never got to do the attraction, but I did get to see one of the shows, and I just had it like a blast. And I cover all that in the video, but that's definitely my favorite because it brings back so many memories for me.
Oh, nice. I actually missed that one, but now as you were talking about it, I kind of want to go and look that up after this.
Yeah.
Because it sounds fun. I'm not a Universal person. I did go when I was little, but the only thing that I went on was E.T., and that's all I remember.
Yeah, so Universal for me was my first, like, Orlando theme park in 2004. I didn't get to go to Disney until 2013. Mm. So Universal, while now I don't quite hold it as high, you know, quality wise, and I don't go there as often, it does hold a special place in my heart. So,
okay.
Yeah.
So please check out One Little Park on YouTube, of course. So before we get into the film that Corey chose and we reminisce about it, let's help the listeners get to know you a little better on Disney-based questions. And I know you're mostly, you love all theme parks, but just to get into what you like on the Disney aspect to see where you're coming from. So how did you first get into Disney?
Well, I think being born in the 90s, you kind of... get hit with all the great Disney movies of the Renaissance era.
Mm-hmm.
So I definitely grew up with those, and you know, my mom bought like all of them on VHS, so I got to watch them all the time at home. So you know, Beauty and the Beast, all the Little Mermaid, I can name them, but we all know them, right? So
yeah. Exactly. Now, since you're a 90s kid and you loved all the Renaissance films, what is your favorite Disney film? Is it one of those Renaissance films?
So it is. It's actually Hercules.
Oh.
I've always just loved watching that movie, and especially love the soundtrack. Like, I had a a tape of the soundtrack that I would listen to and blast all the time, like whether it be like in my room in my little, you know, stereo player, or in the car, and make my mom listen to it. But the movie too is great. I think it has really great characters and just a great overall story.
Yeah, I agree. That's great film. It's very few that starred a male lead, which I loved. I love Aladdin, so I was like really into Aladdin because I was over all the Disney princesses when I was young.
Oh, gotcha. You know, now that you say that, I never thought about it, but I guess it probably did resonate with me a little more because it is a male lead.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you have, or do you remember the first Disney film that you ever watched?
I think it was Beauty and the Beast.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's kind of funny, like, because that's my first Disney film too.
I feel like that's the one, because I know it's my mom's favorite, and so I'm sure that she would have like played it like first and shown it to me first. But yeah, thinking back, I think that's the one.
So do you have a favorite Disney character, and or it can be like a group of characters?
So I actually really like Dr. Facilier from Princess and the Frog. I think he's a really, like, really cool villain. And his song is awesome. I really love the music from, like, any of the movies that have, you know, like, that are kind of semi-musicals. And so I really tend to like the ones with the songs more. So, but Dr. Facilier, I think he's my favorite. And I like villains too, you know, because, you know, they're cooler.
Yeah, they are. They're just drawn better. I don't know what it is about them.
Yeah.
So what kind of Disney movie do you like? Do you like the superhero movies, the princess movies, the musicals, the live action, just strictly animated, any of those, or something that pops up in your head?
So when we talk about Disney, do we mean like Disney owned, like Marvel or Lucasfilm, or are we just talking
the
about
the whole,
like,
all of the franchise, everything under the umbrella?
Well, then that definitely opens it up. Because so I had the Star Wars original trilogy special edition that came out in 97 on VHS, and I had those going like all the time. So Star Wars has always been like a huge like franchise for me. I can't wait for Rise of Skywalker. But lately, obviously, because of Endgame and everything, I've really been on a Marvel kick.
Okay.
But other than that, going back to Disney, it's the musicals, like, recently, like, with Moana, especially. I really, like, that's one of my favorite ones recently. And Princess and the Frog, really. Yeah, so if I'm going back to, like, animation, if I want to turn one on, it's usually going to be a musical. Sometimes I'll go for like a Pixar, but usually it's going to be a musical, one that I can sing along with.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I get that. And finally, is there a movie you're looking forward to in the rest of 2019? And it does not have to be Disney.
You know, the rest of 2019, I'm really just looking right there at December. It's got to be Star Wars for me.
Yeah.
We've had Endgame, which... oh my gosh. I can't believe how great that movie like turned out, but I'm trying to get off the Endgame hype. I'm still I've seen it 3 times. And so I think I'm finally going to be able to, you know, let go of it for a while and get into Star Wars mode and get ramped up for the Rise of Skywalker. Cause I'm like, it's bittersweet, right? Cause it's the end of Star Wars as we know it.
Yeah.
And the beginning of it's going to open up like a whole new universe and open up way more stories in the future for them to tell. So,
yeah, it was such a bittersweet. I mean, it still is a bittersweet year because we're ending with the MCU. I know there are going to be more stages, but that was an end of an era. I don't know if you're into Game of Thrones, but that ended. And then now we have Star Wars that's going to end. It's just... Wow.
I know. I watched the finale of Game of Thrones yesterday, and so yeah, I was really, really happy with it and really satisfied. But it was sad because, it's been like what, 8 years, I think, of watching that
Yeah.
series and bonding with those characters. And then the MCU, we've had the last 10 years with all of those. So, and then of course Star Wars has been like what, 40 something. So
Yeah, something
it's
like
a
that.
huge year for all these franchises to kind of wrap up, and it is bittersweet, but
Yeah.
there's going to be great stuff in the future. So always like to say it's exciting to be a Disney fan right now, because with Marvel and Lucasfilm and the theme parks, like, we've just got so much great stuff coming, and a lot of it we don't even know about yet, but
Yeah. You said it right there. So now to remind everyone how this series goes, it will be divided into two parts. The first part will be Corey and I trying to remember the movie strictly based on memory from the last time or times we watched it, answering questions about the film, how it made us feel, or any feelings that rise up when we think about it. The second part will be after we watch the movie on our own time, of course, and then come back and discuss how present day us feels about the movie, if time or nostalgia has a factor in how we remember this certain movie. So it's always guest choice here on Once I Watched a Disney, and Corey picked, as he said before, the Aristocats. So is there any particular reason why you went with this movie?
Well, I remember when I saw it on the list, I remember like it stuck out to me because I always thought, man, that was a like one that as a kid I really liked, because, and I don't know why, but I always kind of like really liked it. And so I thought it would be a good one to, because it's been so long, thought it'd be a good one to revisit and see if it still holds up and to see if I still like it, because I have no idea why I liked it. but I remember as a kid really, really liking it. And I think my mom liked it too. My mom is a big Disney fan too, but I think she liked to watch it a lot too. So
Okay. So, as many listeners know, Corey and I have not watched this film yet in its entirety for 3 years or more, and we'll get into how long. But I did look up something a little about the movie to give us and the listeners a sense of where this movie came from. The Aristocats was released on December 24th in 1970, and it is the 20th Disney animated feature film. So, do you remember or recall the last or first time you watched this movie?
No, I no to both of those. It has to have been at, like 15 years. Yeah, I mean, it's really been a long time.
Okay. So we're really stretching our memory banks here, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's been, 10 years or more for me as well. I remember owning it on VHS with those clamshell cassette tapes and everything, but that
Yeah.
I remember like loving the little kittens. The black one
Yes.
was my favorite. I loved cats at the time. But yeah.
I only remember two kittens, which is Marie and the orange one. I think there's an orange one.
Yes. So, thanks to Disneyland Paris, I know what the cats look like because they're like very prominent because it takes place in France. So Marie is like an icon over at Disneyland Paris.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
I think I can only remember her name because I think there is in Magic Kingdom a meet and greet
oh,
on Main
really?
Street. On Main Street sometimes, I think. But
Oh
so
my
I think
gosh.
that's like the only, I don't think it's very often, but I think she does have a meet and greet sometimes. But I think that's the only reason why I know her name.
Yeah, it's for me, it's just thanks to Paris because I have a lot of people that I follow on Twitter that are from the UK or from France and they're like always going to Disneyland Paris all the time and their merchandise centers around all the France-based movies, which of course they would. And I know, so there's Marie, who's the white female kitten. Toulouse, I think, is the black kitten. But I could be wrong, and I'm probably having people scream at me right now because I'm getting that wrong.
Yeah. I have no idea. It doesn't ring a bell with me at all.
Yeah. So it's, and then I don't know what the orange kitten's name is.
I don't
And
either.
then the mother was called Duchess.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You're right. I don't remember what she looks like, though. But I remember the name that she said that.
So, do you remember the plot of the story at all?
Vaguely, I think. I think as I talk, I might remember more, but so I know, so the owner, I don't know who she is or what she is. I think she's, rich though. She's an old rich lady, right? So I think she's gonna leave like her fortune to the cats, but like her butler guy is like no, and basically like gets rid of them, and I don't know. And then they meet like Thomas O'Malley and the Alley Cats, but that's like all I kind of that's all I've got right now. I don't remember how it resolves. Yeah.
So I have like a villain series going on Disflix, and you kind of hit the nail on the head. It was basically she's like this rich woman, and her butler was very jealous because she put all of her fortune in the cat's names. And so his devious plan is to get rid of the cat. So he did the unthinkable and stuffed them in a sack and threw them in the river. But the river was very shallow, so they got out of there.
Okay.
And then that's when they meet Thomas O'Malley and then the Alley Cats, and then everybody wants to be a cat. And I don't
Okay.
remember how it ends either.
I know there's like some dogs, right? And a motorcycle, like, right? Like the dogs are like riding a motorcycle in a sidecar. Maybe not. I don't know. I feel like I remember something, some kind of sequence there. But I definitely remember that everybody wants to be a cat because that's a really fun song. And so I remember that whole like that whole session there where they have like the this really cool like improv jazz type thing with all those cats. That was really fun.
Would you say that that is like a moment that stands out to you? Is everybody wants to be a cat, or is something else standing out in your mind?
Well, that moment, but also when the kittens, I think they've got paint on their paws for some reason, but they're also playing the piano. Do you
Oh,
remember that?
yeah.
Okay, yeah, I remember that, and I always thought like they're making such a mess, but I thought it was so cool that they were like playing the
And it's called like arpeggio, and
Yeah.
yeah, like I don't know music that well, so I know it's like a string of keys on the in music. I think that's what arpeggio is, because I remember this, like you just made me remember this, the sing-along cassette tapes, remember those?
Oh, yeah.
That arpeggio song was part of that sing-along thing. So I remember that song now. It just like popped up in my head. And
Yeah.
that's where they're painting with the piano and the girl's all sassy.
I vaguely remember. Oh, yeah, she doesn't want to get paint on her, but they're like, I think one of them splatters paint on her, I think. I don't
Yeah.
know. She probably, I think she makes this really cute face when it happens. That's coming back to me for some reason. I don't know.
Wow. Yeah, that was part of the sing-along tape. I think the standout moment is probably that for me, now that you had me realize that. That and when Duchess meets Thomas O'Malley, and I remember exactly what his face looked like when he found out that she had kids, because he was trying to hit on her and he finds out that she has kids, and I think he runs away.
Oh my gosh.
There's some really deep, dark, and adult themes in this movie, now that I think about it.
Oh wow. I don't remember that, but I'm excited to watch it. And like you know, realize all of those like adult themes behind it that I didn't catch on when I, you know, was younger.
Yeah. I do remember, unfortunately, in the Everybody Wants to Be a Cat scenario, there is a Siamese cat and he does a really horrible Asian stereotype where he plays chopsticks with chopsticks and he sings that song. It's like something, something, Egg Foo Young. It's like very, very distasteful.
I now that you say that, that does kind of come back, because I guess it is such a really bad stereotype. It kind of sticks with you. But I think a lot of the movies in the 70s from Disney kind of like have those, you know, terrible stereotypes. And unfortunately, you know, it was always a bad thing, but it was the times, and so
mm-hmm.
I guess they thought it was okay, but yeah, that's definitely not going to be something that ages well with this film, but
yeah, which is unfortunate. And it just it's weird that I don't think this song is a musical like all the other songs were. I think Robin Hood was around this time. It came out around this time. But there was more music in Robin Hood than what I remember was in Aristocats. And I think we just named the two songs that are prevalent in the movie, except probably there's an intro song that nobody will probably remember. But the two songs, since we're 90s kids, we remember clearly. I think that's very right. Interesting, because we came from the musical era and the only things that resonate with us are the two songs.
Yeah, that is interesting. You're right. I can't think of any other songs. Yeah, so those are the two probably. Yeah, I'm pretty sure you're right on that one. It's just two.
So do you think you can name any of the main characters that we haven't named already? We have Duchess, the mom. We know Mary. I know Toulouse is one of them. I don't remember the other cat. And then Thomas O'Malley. So I think... Mm-hmm. The butler's name's Edgar.
Oh, yeah.
Is that right?
I think that's right.
Or am I getting that mixed with the little mouse from Robin Hood?
Oh, gosh. I don't know. I don't remember. Because I remembered Marie and Thomas O'Malley. But, yeah. I can't think of anybody else's name.
Huh. And then I don't remember what the owner's name is, but I think she sang opera and that's why she was rich.
Oh, yeah, I didn't know that.
And I want to say someone of the alley cats is named Fat Cat, because that would just be typical in a jazz themed era.
I think so. I think you're right on that one too. Fat Cat. Hey, Fat Cat. Yeah. It's probably like the leader of the group, the jazz group.
Yeah.
Is it called are they called the Alley Cats?
I don't know.
Or is it just kind of, I don't know.
I think Thomas O'Malley claims he's an alley cat, and that's maybe where we're getting that from.
Okay. Oh, he kind of sings something like that, right?
Does he sing another song?
I think it's kind of a song. If not, it's just like sing-songy, but he's like, yeah.
He has Thomas another song.
The Alley Cat or something.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
That's all I got. I don't remember the rest of it. But so, maybe it's when he's introducing himself.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. I think you're right. He has another song in there. Now, I'm really bad with names, especially with actors from the early animated films, but this is the actor that we heard at least in two other movies. He plays Baloo, he plays Little John in Robin Hood, and now he plays Thomas O'Malley. Gosh, I'm really hate myself that I don't remember his name. I know, because he has such an iconic voice.
Yeah, I feel like I should know this. Given all the other podcasts I listen to that cover Disney movies, I really feel like I should know this, but I'm kind of in the same boat with you. Like, I'm terrible with, like, actors and actresses' names.
Yeah. He is very iconic, and I just remember he just plays someone that he always plays. He plays Little John. He plays Blue. He's just, like, this laid-back person who, like, I don't know, acts like he's the ladies' man. Phil Harris, that's his name. Sorry. That came out of nowhere. Phil Harris. I got it right.
Oh, gotcha. Well, you're right. He has like a really, and I love his voice. He's got a really nice like voice and is chill. Just like, yeah.
Yeah.
I could listen to it.
Yeah. So this might correlate, but do you have a favorite character from your memory?
No, I don't.
No, none of the characters stand out to you.
Not really. They all kind of, yeah, it all kind of blends together, and nobody sticks out as a favorite.
Okay. So I'm going to go with Toulouse because I think he is the black kitten. And I remember when I was a little girl that I said that he was my favorite character for a good 3 years. So I'm going to stick with that because that's my favorite character from the memory. Oh, gotcha. This nice. Will probably change. So do you have a least favorite character from your memory? Any of these characters that just like, eh.
Well, I always hated the butler. I guess Edgar, if we're going to go with that. Like, why would you want to murder the kittens, especially the kittens? Like, why are you murdering the kitties? Like, I always hated that. Like, I do remember like always being like kind of terrified of him because he's just murdering animals.
Yeah, exactly. And I have to agree with you. I think he's my least favorite too, knowing that he puts those cats in a bag and throws them. And the fact that he gets so angry at the cats and not angry at her, his employer, that why couldn't he just wait until she died and then take the money? Because who's gonna like, is the cat gonna claim it? No.
Yeah, exactly.
the cat's not gonna claim the money. I have to agree with you, the butler, Edgar. So do you have a special memory with this film? Is that going back to watching it with your mom?
Yeah, I think so. I'm not sure why. I guess I should probably ask her later why she liked it so much. But I remember her like always liking it. Probably because actually she was born in 71, so it came out in 70, so it was probably a movie she grew up with that probably just kind of resonated with her for whatever reason. And so I guess watching it with her is probably the best memory I have of it, yeah.
Okay. I don't have a special memory per se. I just remember being drawn to this movie because I got all the cassette tapes out of order, and it, with my small child mind, I thought they were coming out every year when they weren't. So my mom would surprise me each year with a new Disney movie, and Aristocats came to me like 94. So I thought it was new. So I was like, ooh, it's cats. And like the cats are singing and everything. So I was just drawn to it because of the cats, because everything else was like dogs, like Goofy's a dog, Pluto's a dog. Everything was centered around dogs with Disney. And I guess I just latched onto it because it was like the first cat thing. I really liked Raja from Aladdin too. So it was just a weird special memory with that, I guess.
That was cool though. that's funny that like you thought they were coming out like, yeah, because like I guess kids wouldn't realize that, you know, it's like 24 years old by then, but
yeah. I didn't know at all. Yeah. So do you think you had a problem with it and that was the reason why you haven't watched it in a long time, or was there another reason?
I don't know. I don't know. I've never thought. I guess maybe it just, it just didn't resonate enough like the 90s movies did, right? Because I've revisited those like several times, but like I haven't forgotten it. Like I remember it and like I think about it, but like I just never like, ooh, I need to watch that movie again. So there must be something about it that just didn't quite stick the landing and, you know, make me want to go back. It was probably the, you know, the murderous butler, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't remember exactly why I didn't watch this again. I think because it's not a vaulted movie, right? It's not one of those.
I don't think so. Yeah.
So it wasn't really locked up. Maybe I'm thinking maybe when I moved out of the house, I just didn't get another copy. I didn't switch over to DVD for a long time. So I guess I just never upgraded from the VHS, and that's why I didn't watch it again. But I'm really excited to watch this again to see how like good or bad it has over time, I guess. How it's changed over time.
Yeah, I'm excited to revisit it. Because I have no, like, I don't know, like, I can't say it's a good movie or a bad movie. Like, I just don't remember it that well. So I did to revisit. And I don't know that I hear other people really talk about it that much. I don't know that it ever comes up a lot. So I'm interested to see, like, maybe I can find out why by watching it again.
So if you could say one word that reminds you of this movie, like just in your memories, one word or mood.
Jazz.
Jazz. Yeah. That's perfect, actually.
Yeah.
That is a great word.
Like, I know, like, that sequence especially, like, it's got high energy. The song is pretty great, minus that one part. And, you know, it's just a fun little sequence of the movie. And obviously, it's music, like we talked about earlier, being, you know, from the Renaissance era. So, yeah, jazz.
That is a perfect word, actually. Because we all, like, whenever we think of Aristocats, we always think of that song. Everybody Wants to Be a Cat. Which, I think, given the time period, was jazz really prevalent over there? I don't know. It just, yeah, I have no idea. That's just a weird question that popped in my head, that maybe it wasn't in the right time period and they just put that in because jazz was becoming more prevalent in the 70s or I guess 60s, but it has roots back in like the early 30s and 40s.
Yeah. When does Aristocats take place?
That's a good question. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't remember. So now I'm wondering, like, does the jazz like even fit, or is it like an out of place, like time wise?
Yeah, they could have just been trying to relate with people the 70s. I don't know.
And I don't think about France. Like when I think about jazz. So that's interesting too.
Yeah. Because I remember Duchess had an accent, but I don't know if it was French. And then here comes Thomas O'Malley, who's very much American. And I think even the kids had an accent, possibly, but I don't know. This movie is starting to sound like a mixed jumble of things right now. And I'm hoping it's just my memories.
Right. I think Marie, I remember Marie kind of having an accent. I don't know if it was French, but I know it was an accent.
It was something.
Yeah.
So I guess like the word that would come to mind to me is like short. I remember it being short. Like maybe that's why we don't remember the ending as well, because of the fact that it just ended abruptly and you don't get that payoff. I don't know. There's got to be a reason why it didn't resonate with us.
Yeah. I mean, I have no, like, I do not know at all, like, what happens at the end. I know it's not like a, I know it's like happy ending. Like I know, I don't remember it being like a sad ending or anything. So, but I don't know at all what happens.
Yeah. Maybe I have a feeling it's kind of like a Lady and the Tramp ending. Just like everybody's happy and everybody's together. The end. Don't know what happens to Edgar. He just disappears.
Yeah.
Well, this will be interesting to see what how this movie ends up.
Yeah, I have no idea. I really don't. Like from talking, yeah, I have no idea what to expect from it.
Yeah. So if you could rate this movie on memory alone, what letter grade would you give it?
On memory alone, well, because I don't remember, because I feel like it didn't stick with me and I don't remember it, I'd have to give it like a C plus.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a solid score right there. I think I'm gonna, like, I hate that I'm doing this again because I just did another episode a couple days ago and I gave that movie a C, but I feel like if I don't remember any of it, like there's no strong feelings behind it, I have to give it a C, just an average score, because I have no idea.
Yeah, I agree. Like, I don't know. I can't say it's bad, but I remember some of it's like good. So yeah, I think C, just being right there in the middle, it's where, you know.
Yeah.
But I kind of give it that plus because, like, everybody wants to be a cat. Like, yeah. I know, it just automatically gets some extra points.
Yeah. Just that song alone. It's...
Yeah.
All right. So, Corey and I are going to take a small break. It's going to be a couple seconds for you, but it may be a couple days, couple weeks, couple months. Who knows when we're going to see this movie, and then we'll be right back and tell you what we think.
Do you like to go to Halloween horror nights?
Do you yourself like Hollow Scream, haunted attractions, ghostly encounters, and other scary things?
Or maybe on the weekend you like to summon a ghost or go find yourself a demon?
If you do, then this is the podcast for you.
Haunters!
You can follow us every Wednesday on Podbean, Spotify, and iTunes. You can also follow us on Twitter and Facebook at Haunters Pod.
We're ready to haunt you.
Ah, wonderful. It comes off kind of creepy.
We're keeping it!
Walt Disney Pictures presents a classic case of catnapping.
They're gone!
That's terrible.
What's gonna happen to us?
The culprit is on the loose.
He's the catnapper.
The cats are on the run.
Everybody out of here fast.
But help is on the way.
Charge!
It's adventure. Surprises. No. Romance.
Stuff.
And music.
This is outrageous! It's crazy!
It's scandalous.
But most of all, it's
quiet!
It's delightful Disney fun.
And we're back. Corey and I just got done watching the Aristocats, and it hasn't been that long. It's been about a week and a day since you say that we did the first interview.
Yeah, it hadn't been too long.
Yeah, I just watched Aristocats today. I was kind of falling behind. I was supposed to watch it yesterday, but I watched it today with my son. When did you watch it?
I watched it Tuesday.
Tuesday, okay.
Yes.
So, not too long ago, a couple days ago?
No. Yeah.
Okay, so it's still fresh in our minds.
Yes, it is.
So, now that we have it fresh in our minds, we are going to talk about how we feel about it and kind of compare it to the first interview of what we tried to remember. And oh my gosh, Corey, I got a lot of things wrong.
Yeah. I kind of was started thinking about, yeah, how much we were like, we were off. So, but like, once like the movie opened and like, after the credits, like, it all, like, started coming back to me pretty quick. And I was like, oh, yeah, there's that, and there's that. And I think there's this coming up. So I found that really interesting, that all I needed was, like, that beginning piece to see that, and it just sparked all these memories.
Oh, wow. Well, I'm glad that happened to you, because it didn't necessarily happen to me. There was a lot of things where I was just like, whoa, that was in there? I totally forgot that this was in this movie. So overall, what did you think of this? Did this bring back everything? Were you smiling the whole time, or were you just like, oh, no?
So... I'm still kind of processing it, even though it's been a few days. But it did a little, like, I was able to like reminisce, and, you know, it brought back fond memories of watching it with my mom, but, some of it didn't hold up too well for me, and I kind of lost interest and at the end of the movie, and it really, I don't know if it's one I'd revisit. It just didn't have, I don't know, it was missing something.
Yeah, I kind of felt the same way. I just, as I said before, I really liked it as a kid, and one of my favorite characters for a long time, like about a year, was the Black Kitty, which I got the name wrong. It's not Toulouse, it's Berlioz?
Oh yeah, Berlioz.
Berlioz, yeah. Yeah. He was my favorite cat, and now looking back at it, I'm like, why was that my favorite cat? I don't understand. Like, Tullios seems like more appropriate.
For sure. Because for sure. I fell in love with Tullios.
Yeah, he had such a personality.
Yeah.
But yeah, it just, like, this movie didn't do anything for me. I was just, like, scratching my head most of the time.
Right.
Yeah, not because it was confusing. It was just like, why did I like this?
Yeah, same kind of. I mean, like, I was trying to, like, think back. Like, if I saw this in a theater today for the very first time, like, this would really be an underwhelming film. And it really doesn't do anything for you.
Yeah, exactly. It just, I don't know. It's the lack of the plot. And it could also be the timing of when the movie came out, because it came out in 1970, and I think it was in December. Am I correct with that?
I think, I think I read maybe like a Christmas Eve release or somewhere around there, Christmas.
So this is almost over a year of when Walt Disney died. And he kind of greenlit this. I think it was one of the last things he greenlit to go to movie. And then he died, unfortunately, the year before. So it kind of feels like that happened. Like, the studio was kind of fumbling after his death and didn't know what to do. And you can see it in like the artwork. Like, it feels so unfinished.
Yeah. I noticed that too. And, yeah, so this is the first one they did after, like, they completed without, you know, Walt having helped at all. You know, he greenlit it, but there was no Walt when they did this. And it, you're right, it shows. I don't know. It's a studio who's trying to, you know, figure out what to do now that they've lost their leader. You know, and you know, I don't know. I noticed like a lot of the sketchy lines and stuff. Sometimes it was distracting. Sometimes I liked it, like with the animation, but, it just feels like like they struggled to get it together and put out a great movie.
Yeah. Like, they had a time limit and they couldn't like polish it up.
Yeah.
But still, like, the plot seemed very rushed and it didn't feel cohesive. Some of the pieces that were put together didn't make sense for the time period, because I remember asking, when was this taking place? And I think we guessed 1920. And I looked it up, and it takes place in 1910.
Yeah, so, I mean, with, like, the jazz part of it, you're, like, what, like, 10 years-ish off? I think I read, like, American jazz didn't become, like, a thing in France until like after World War I and really closer to World War II, I think. So that kind of felt out of place when I like, because I was already trying to, I think at the beginning of the film, they said it, like, Paris 1910.
Oh, does it? So, I guess I missed that.
So I thought, I was like, okay, well, I know there's going to be jazz coming up, so that's going to be weird. But not to jump too far ahead, but in that whole Everybody Loves to Be a Cat scene, it was really weird to see, like, the hippie cat. Mm-hmm. Also, that kind of, yeah. And I didn't understand, like, those cats at all, like, why they had to be, like, a Russian cat or a hippie cat or the Italian, I don't know. But anyway.
Yeah, it was kind of a mess there.
Yeah.
I remember mentioning in the first interview that I don't remember the songs except Everybody Wants to Be a Cat. And boy, did I forget all the songs. First song kind of brought memories back, but that was it. That was the only thing that brought memories back.
Yeah. So I gotta, I'm gonna be honest. Like, when I heard the first song, I was like, oh yeah, there's that song, but I could not, like, hum it for you right now. I don't remember what it was at all.
Yeah. It's not memorable. It's very Parisian, definitely. Yeah. And one thing when I was looking up information on this is, because I totally missed the credits. I was just listening to the music because I was like, oh, I have something to do right now. I need to go do that. And usually Walt Disney credits, especially during this time, it's all just credits and there's nothing really going on the screen. So I was like, oh, I have some time. So I missed the credits. And unfortunately, I missed the fact that the Sherman Brothers worked on this.
Yeah.
And they worked on this title song, but talked Maurice Chevalier out of retirement to sing the song for this. I don't know who that is, but I just thought that was interesting.
Yeah, so I don't really know who it is. I didn't go that far into, like, listening to any of his music, but yeah, I saw that too, and apparently he was, like, well into retirement, not gonna come back for, like, anybody, any money, except for, like, the Sherman Brothers ass, and it was for a Walt Disney film, and I guess he really loved Walt Disney, and he would do it for Walt, so, and I guess with Walt's passing, that kind of, like, I don't know, that kind of probably influenced his, you know, coming back too, so he did that one song out of retirement, I guess. Yeah.
Did I miss anything? Was there any animation during that first part?
So during the first, like, opening credit sequence, there was a little bit of the, and I don't remember exactly what happened, but I remember, like, we got a little bit of introduction to Duchess and the kittens, with some really, like, there were really, like, faint, sketched lines of animation. But I don't think anything kind of happened except for, like, them maybe walking across screen.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So did it kind of mimic 101 Dalmatians?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's been a while since I've seen 101 Dalmatians and Lady and the Tramp, but from my research, I got the feeling that this movie kind of borrowed a lot from both of those films.
Yeah, I could definitely see that.
So I'm interested to go back and watch those and refresh on those and see their influence on this film, because I think that probably has a lot to do with, again, Walt's passing. They kind of just, like, looked at what they had done in the past to try to recreate it and try to help them, you know, put something together.
The one thing that came to my mind, and I had to look this up because I wasn't quite sure, was this reminds me of Robin Hood, and Robin Hood came after the Aristocats, and I always thought it was before, but you can definitely see the stuff they took from Jungle Book that came out 3 years prior to this. You can definitely see how Robin Hood took from this, and you can definitely see the Lady and the Tramp in here. I haven't seen 101 in a while, so I don't know if they took from that too. Probably the design of the dogs, which I totally forgot were in this movie.
I did too. I think I kind of remembered something about a dog. I vaguely remembered that too. All these movies actually from this time, like the 60s and the 70s, it's been a while since I've seen those. But I was just going to say, like, Wolfgang Reitherman directed The Aristocats, but he also directed 101 Dalmatians, The Jungle Book, and Robin Hood. So that's probably also where you get these similarities, especially as we move into the 70s when they didn't have like quite the leadership. When you have like a director who's done a lot of projects, you're probably just going to look to him to try to, you know, continue doing what works, I guess. But he also directed The Many Adventures of Winnie the Pooh and The Rescuers, by the way, just throwing that out there. But
and I can see that too, the connections.
Yeah.
Because some of the same voice actors kind of bounced from these movies, all the movies that we mentioned.
Yeah, I had a long, I went through the cast, and even though a lot of their names I didn't know, like, I didn't recognize them right away, but once I started doing some research, I was like, oh, that's this, like, Sterling Holloway as Roquefort, I think his name is, the mouse.
Roquefort, like Roquefort, the cheese, and that like made me laugh.
So I didn't know it was a cheese until like, I think the other day I was looking at something. I was like, oh, but yeah. So Sterling Holloway voiced Winnie the Pooh. And you could like tell, like, I was like, that's Winnie the Pooh's voice right there. But
yeah.
Since you bring up Roquefort, I thought the naming of kind of a lot of these characters was kind of fun. Like Berlioz was named after Hector Berlioz, who was a French composer, and then Toulouse was a French painter who's like, I think he was a post-impressionist who knew Vincent van Gogh, so they worked closely together. And then the two dogs, Lafayette and Napoleon, obviously after French generals. So I thought the naming for some of these characters was pretty cool.
Yeah, I definitely picked up on the dogs' names that, but the Tullius and Berlioz, I had to look up because I'm like, those are odd names. Why did they come up with that? And then there's Marie.
Yeah, Marie, and I didn't see like where they directly said like what she was like, who she was named after or whatever, but I assume maybe Marie Antoinette. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
If I had to guess, but I didn't see that anywhere. So
because they like these kittens, like, boy, do they have a life.
Yeah.
They have like this hobby room for the cats only to do their their skills with, and Marie is supposed to be the singer, you know? But she doesn't really sing, she like talks sing, and I know they're like little kids, but yeah, I was just like, why is she the singer? But it's all like the French Renaissance. I think they were just going with the French Renaissance and all that stuff, but yeah. And we got to talk about Duchess is Ava Gabor as Duchess, who also played Miss Bianca. I could pick that voice from across the room. Very thick Hungarian accent in a very Parisian film. Yeah. Very, very odd choice, but yeah. I understand why they did it.
Yeah, a lot of the kind of accents, going back to Lafayette and Napoleon, Southern American?
Yeah, I was very confused. So you're going with Southern French type of almost borderline, like close to Cajun, you know? The guy who voiced Napoleon, he is actually in Robin Hood as the sheriff of Nottingham, and then he goes on to play Chief in Fox and the Hound. I saw that connection really well, but I was just like, why are they in this?
Yeah.
The voices are all over the place.
Yeah, the voices really are. Yeah. But I mean, they were all over the place and they didn't fit, but I did like Napoleon and Lafayette, like, and I kind of liked their voices, but I don't know, like, they didn't really help the story any, like, having their voices like that, so.
Yeah, it was just a mishmash of voice actors together. You can tell that it was made last second because we have Ava Gabor, who's Hungarian. Then we have the Lafayette Napoleon accents. We have Thomas O'Malley, the alley cat, who has a basic American accent.
Yeah.
Edgar and Madame are both English, but Madame goes in between an English and a French accent. It just, yeah. Yeah. That was bugging me a little bit. So the beginning of the film is where I noticed that it was very sketchy, like it was very rough, because I don't know about the version that you rented, but my version was like the newest version. They took this old film and tried to make it crisper and cleaner, you know, like they're trying to change it to make it look better, but it just showed all the sketchiness of Madame more than anyone. Like her hair, every time she moved, there was something left over from the sketch pad.
Absolutely. That's exactly like in the very first, you know, part of the movie, I noticed that right away. I was like, wow, you can see those lines, you know, from previous. And I was like, that's really weird, a really weird choice if it was intentional, but I don't think it was intentional.
No.
Because a lot of the other, you know, animation doesn't have that. So yeah, it stuck out because it looked like, you know, an accident, like a mistake. So
yeah. And the same thing with George, what is he like?
He's like an attorney, I think, like her lawyer.
Attorney. Okay.
Yeah.
So in my notes I had, oh my God, George is crazy.
So I'm so glad we're talking about George, because so I remember as a kid, like when I saw the car and I saw him drive up, I was like, oh my gosh, that guy made me laugh so hard as a kid for some reason. Like I always loved when he came onto the screen because he's just hilarious and he's crazy. I still kind of thought he was really funny. But you know, when I saw him now, I immediately thought of like Jerry, I guess, from Jerry's Game, the short, you know, for the Pixar short where he plays chess against himself.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
That's right. And then it's the same guy who's the cleaner in Toy Story 2 who does he refurbishes Woody to make him really pristine. So I don't know if Gary or Jerry, I don't know how you pronounce his name. It's like G-E-R-I. Is that Gary, I guess? Is it really weird sparing? Or is it Jerry? I don't know.
I don't know.
Okay.
Called it Jerry.
Okay, let's go with Jerry. So like, I feel like Jerry was inspired a little bit by George, but I don't know if I couldn't find anything on that, but I felt like they looked really similar.
Yeah. Because there's a little quirk that George does when he puts on his glasses and he blinks. That's exactly mimicked from Jerry. Yeah. So it could be, could be.
But yeah, I liked George. I thought he was really funny. But that's just me.
I just kept saying he's crazy, and in the beginning he's like, I'm not as spry as I was when I was 80, so I concluded that he was 90. I'm like, what is he doing?
I think he got the most laughs out of me for this whole movie was
I can see that. And then I wrote down also the stairs scene was weird. It was weirdly put together. The mouth movement did not coincide with the voice. And like he's like like when he grabs onto Edgar with his umbrella or cane on the back of his suspenders and he's like falling down the stairs, his mouth is moving a mile a minute and he only says two words. I'm like, what is going on here?
Really?
This is a mess.
I didn't catch that, but yeah, that's pretty bad. I would think I was focused on the fact that I always thought it was weird that he grabbed onto his suspenders and then showed his underwear. I always thought that was a weird thing. So then that's what I focused on in the scene, because I was like, oh yeah, there's this weird thing that's happening. But yeah, I didn't catch his mouth going. That's crazy. It's a mess, like you said.
It was like this whole first scene about the introduction to everyone was kind of a mess. I even wrote down that colors seem to disappear and reappear a bunch of times. Like, for example, Duchess's nose went from pink to blue constantly, and so did her eyes went from blue to white. It was very weird. It was just, I was like, oh no, is this the whole movie? It wasn't like that. So it feels like the first part was added in at the last second. That's what it felt like to me. I didn't find anything in my research on that though. So
yeah, I noticed the color thing too, especially when Toulouse was painting. I think he dipped his hands in like orange and another color, and then all of a sudden, I think it was orange and green maybe, and then all of a sudden the green was blue. I don't know.
Really?
I noticed it a lot, like when he's playing the piano, like 1 second there's like two colors on his hands or paws, I mean, playing, and then all of a sudden on the piano there's like three or four colors there, and his paws has got different color. I don't know. Yeah, I noticed that with the paint. That stuck out, but I guess I wasn't paying close enough attention to the other details, like you said, with Duchess's eyes. But I think I was for some reason I was like really looking at the paint and what he was doing, so I don't know.
Yeah, another aspect that I definitely picked up on was there was no sound effects to anything that was happening. They used music instead. And what I'm referring to is, let's see, when we meet Thomas O'Malley and he tries to stop the truck and he's like fighting with that truck driver, you always hear like cat noises and then you hear like this low trombone when something bad happens, but there's no sound effects in this whole movie, I don't think, except for like a few splashes and like crashes, but that's it. There's no sound effects.
Yeah, I noticed that. It just makes it feel like almost empty, like it's missing something, like I said earlier. Like it feels like it's missing something, like it was rushed to put together. And, you know, because I don't know that they had any budgetary issues. I didn't read about like that, but maybe they did. Did you see anything about the budget? And maybe they
did not. Yeah. They made a lot of money because they kept releasing it.
Yeah, financially. Yeah, financially, it was a success over the years. Because I think the budget was $4 million, and then they've made like 50-something million, maybe?
Yeah, something like
that's
that.
That's right. So, yeah, but I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if at the time there were any like cutbacks or anything on the budget. I guess it was just they ran out of time, maybe.
Yeah. That could be it. This movie just felt odd. And because of the no sound effects, it did feel oddly spaced. I don't know. And there was no background music either half the time.
Yeah.
So there was long pauses when there wasn't supposed to be long pauses. I don't know. Let's just move on to Thomas O'Malley when he comes in.
Okay.
So you were right. There was a song about Thomas O'Malley, the Alley Cat. Yeah. Did not remember this song at all. I felt like it went a little too long, and it kind of reminded me of Bare Necessities.
Huh. Well, I mean, yeah. it's almost the same. Yeah, the same. It's like Baloo, but as a cat.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah. Well, I want to back up just a minute. So before we get to Thomas O'Malley, we have Edgar stealing the kittens and I guess taking them to the countryside to do whatever. I don't know. But he like, I thought the whole chase scene sequence felt a little long. And then we got the whole thing again, like later on in the film with the dogs and Edgar. And I was like, really, again? Like, I actually think I started looking at my phone for the second chase sequence because I was like, wow, I don't need to see all that again. But I want to say something that felt weird to me was like Edgar lost the kittens, but he kind of didn't care whether or not like what happened to them, even though he was trying to get rid of them. But they kind of fell off the bike. And I don't know that he caught on to that or that he even cared. He was just worried about leaving. I don't know. Did that stick out? Did that? I don't know. Was that weird to you?
Yeah. It was kind of, because at first I was like really surprised that I got it wrong, because as we all know that I said that he stuffed him in a sack and tried to throw him into the river.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
That was totally wrong. He was a lot more gentle than I initially thought. He just tried to overdose them with sleeping pills instead and put them in a basket, which was kind of nice.
Yeah.
But I think in the heat of the moment, like, I guess it didn't bother me because I was thinking, like, well, that was his whole point, was he wanted to get rid of the cats. So maybe he thought that they probably died, or the fact that they're so pampered that they wouldn't know how to get back.
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking. So he was just trying to get rid of the evidence. So I was like, okay, I get what you're trying to do here, but it still does not make a lick of sense while you'd be tingling with these dogs for that long of time.
Yeah, it was, I feel like that went on a long time.
So when we meet Thomas O'Malley, he's trying to put the moves on Duchess, which I thought was funny. As he was trying to get closer, the kids start jumping out, and he gets frightened by that, and he tries to turn away. But then he's like, you know what? I don't want to be a bachelor anymore. And then he goes after them and tries to help them, which I thought was kind of nice. There was like already character development in this, but that's it. That's all we see of character development in the rest of this film.
Yeah.
But it is a cartoon, so.
Yeah. Yeah, I liked that too, because he was totally just kind of, you know, like, you know, just trying to, you know, be that old alley cat and, you know, try to get the girl. I liked that he was like, well, okay, they need help. I'm going to help them. I'm going to be a good cat this time.
Yeah. And so he's interacting with the kids more, which I thought was sweet, because he mentioned something about a magic carpet ride with Duchess, and the kids are like, I want to go on a magic carpet ride. He's like, oh, that's an adult thing. And then he tries to twist it, and that's where we get to the truck scene where he basically harasses a truck driver to pull over.
Yeah.
That was ridiculous. I thought that was the best scene in the whole movie.
I always remember, like when I saw that, I was like, oh yeah, that like whole sequence, like with the cat, with Thomas, like, I guess screaming, it always kind of terrified me. And so it kind of brought back some scared memories of that. But I noticed on the truck, just a small detail, like the crank for when they crank the truck, that would disappear and appear as like, depending on the scene. So I that was another one of those things where like, the animation just wasn't as good, not picking up on all those little details. But anyway.
Yeah. And then I think it cuts back to the mansion, and Edgar, well, the Winnie the Pooh mouse decides that he's going to don some detective gear and go search for the cats. And he has the help of Fru Fru the horse. And I guess he tried to find the cats, but he didn't get very far. And he was just about to give up. And then Edgar comes in and he's like, hey, look, guys, I'm on the front page. Which means that the madam, after a single night, because those cats were gone for like probably 6 hours. And this woman put an ad out on the front page of the paper looking for these cats.
Yeah.
And then Edgar's over here like, I made the front page, woohoo! And so now the horse and the mouse are pissed off, but they don't do anything about it. They never do. They never leave the house, which I was like, why are these characters in here?
Right. Especially Fru Fru. I don't know. I felt like every time she was in a scene, it was kind of like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Why is she here? I thought the mouse was cute in his detective outfit. I thought he was really cute, but...
It just, like, it was build up. It was, like, storylines D, E, and F, and nothing was happening with that whatsoever. And I think maybe they were trying to fill for time, or maybe they really liked those characters, or maybe the voice actors, like Sterling Callaway, they had to use them anyway. I don't know. I just thought that was weird, those two characters. I don't know if you saw this on Twitter. I posted on Twitter earlier today saying, I'm watching Aristocats for the first time, and you have no idea how many times I had said, damn it, Marie. She kept getting in trouble. She needed help.
Oh, my gosh.
It happened like 3 times in a row.
Yeah, she fell off the truck, the milk truck. She fell off the train tracks, and then something else. But three times, I remember I counted 3 times for sure. And I was like, really?
Why is she the standout character from this movie?
Exactly. I was like, she's just constantly like causing problems and like getting herself into bad situations. But yeah, that's the character that like everybody, you know, loves from the movie for some reason.
Yeah. Maybe because she's drawn cute. I don't know.
Yeah.
I would think that Thomas O'Malley would make it out of there, but no. Yeah. It's Marie.
And interesting. So when he gets them on the truck, if she hadn't have fallen off, I think he was just going to let them go and be about their way. So I guess if we didn't have Marie falling off the truck, we wouldn't have the rest of the story with Thomas O'Malley. So
that's true.
But that's the only, like, that one time would have been fine. The other two times I'm
yeah,
a little much.
So when the train is going over and they're all scared, I kind of love the animations of the cats getting scared and like Duchess and Thomas are like holding the kittens tight and their faces as they keep going back to. I thought that animation was so well done on an expression wise. And I was just thinking, where the heck is Marie? I'm like, oh no, damn it, Marie. Yeah, she's falling or whatever.
Yeah.
But I thought that animation was perfect, like cutting back to them.
Yeah, that stuck out to me too, because it kept like cutting back to the train, on the tracks, and then cutting to them, and they'd be like in a different pose each time. But mm-hmm. Yeah, it was really detailed, and it was kind of funny the way the adults were kind of protecting them.
Yeah, the next scene is probably one of my favorites of the whole movie is the geese. I forget their names, but it didn't need to be in there, but it was. I was laughing. It was the only time I was laughing.
Yeah. Yeah. Amelia and Abigail.
Oh, okay.
And I think they said they were on holiday in Paris, so they're from England, I believe.
Oh, okay.
So I noticed that too. I was like, so still no French voices really, but
yeah,
so I thought they were funny too, because I mean, he's like trying to save like himself because he can't swim and he's about to drown, and they're like, oh, he's learning how to swim, how cute.
And they tell him to let go because it's the only way that he'll learn, and then he almost drowns and they save him.
Yep.
And then the awful, awful animation after they're like, okay, you guys need to get into a V and walk like geese.
Yeah.
And that awful animation.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
But it was kind of cute seeing the kittens walk like the geese. It was funny.
Yeah. I don't remember which one says it, but they were like, do I really have to waddle or something?
And Duchess is like, it's what geese do. Like, Duchess, what are you doing? But okay.
Yep.
And then we meet Uncle Waldo.
Uncle Waldo, who was basted in white wine.
It's marinated.
Marinated,
so,
yeah.
Oh my gosh. Like, did they really put a drunk goose in here?
I never picked up on that when I was younger, but I was like, wow.
I wrote down, they marinated him before they killed him.
Isn't that weird? I thought so too. I was like, he's still alive. He was still alive, and so he was able to get out of there.
He still had all his feathers on him. I mean, and then we go back to the dogs, and there's like less notes on my notepad here because I think I was just over the movie, because I think this is the part where Edgar goes back to get his hat and stuff, and we get another chase with the dogs.
I remember, so at the beginning of that, I thought it was kind of fun the way he was trying to be sneaky about getting his hat back, and the two dogs were asleep and they were kind of talking to each other. But then once they got into the actual chase, it was like, okay, here we go again, and I don't care to see it.
Yeah. So we go back to Thomas O'Malley's house, and they find that Scat Cat and his gang are there, which we already talked about. This jazz thing is all over the place because they originally made Scat Cat to look exactly like Louis Armstrong, but he was sick, I guess, during this time, so they had someone else replace him. But still, like, Louis Armstrong was like 60s, 70s, right?
Yeah, exactly. He wasn't big into, yeah, but I guess around the time the film was being made is when Louis Armstrong was kind of famous. And so, yeah, it was still kind of out of place time-wise. But I mean, the whole sequence, like with all the crazy colors and everything, I thought it was really fun and just a really like energized part of the film.
Yeah, I agree. Like, it brought it up. And then what I didn't remember is Duchess starts singing a slow song in the middle of it with the harp, which I didn't understand. I forgot that totally. And then they just up and sing that again. But I was listening to the lyrics of this song and none of it makes sense. Now, I was very confused what they considered swing, because before they get to the house and Duchess learns about Scat Cat, Thomas O'Malley says, well, he's a swinger. And she's like, what's a swinger? Or whatever, however she says it. She's like, well, you're not the type who would swing. I'm like, Thomas O'Malley just admit he's a swinger? What does swinger mean in this movie?
Yeah.
Was that the adult humor that just went over our heads when we were little?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, at face value, obviously, swing is referring to the jazz, but they definitely had that adult humor put in there, for sure. Yeah. I totally never picked up on. You know, I think that's the beauty of jazz, man. You know, it's just like whatever it wants to be.
As fun as the song was, I felt like the scene wasn't really needed because it doesn't depict the time and era, and it's just more confusing.
Yeah, I can agree with you. It's just, it's out of place, and yeah, I can see that. I still love the scene, but
yeah, it's just, I don't know. Like, I know it's blasphemy to want to change something or say that something's bad, but like, looking back on these things, like, why did they do this, and why did I like this again?
I'm still trying to. That's what I'm like. I'm still trying to process it because I'm still trying to figure out why I liked it so much, when it's really not great at all.
Yeah, it isn't. I don't know. Just like the rest of my notes, just say the mouse don't sync with the voice half of the movie. Thomas O'Malley is one smooth cat, and it feels rushed. Those are the end of my notes. And we have a happy ending. It's very Lady and the Tramp-esque ending, because they defeat Edgar, Madam gets her cats back, and Thomas O'Malley becomes part of the family.
And the Scat Cat and his gang are also part of the family, too?
Yeah, because she did so a cat like sanctuary and downstairs.
Yeah. So I was like, wow, you just, all the cats now from off the street, you're just
you're just downstairs. I mean, she has a big house, why not? She's lonely.
Yeah, true.
one thing that I forgot to put down that just popped up in my head. During the cat and Edgar fight, the mouse, which I forget his name, was trying to pick the lock that Duchess and his kittens and her kittens were in the chest for. He couldn't pick the lock because he couldn't hear the click, so he's like quiet, and then everybody stops, which is supposed to be a slapstick moment, whatever. It gets a laugh out of little kids, I understand that. But does Edgar hear them? People hear them talk?
Well, that's interesting. I didn't think now that you say that maybe because all the animals like stopped abruptly, Edgar was like, what's going on?
Maybe, but you never notice the animals talking in the same room as the humans.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, there was a lot of crazy stuff, you know, in this film. So, I mean, maybe they can hear the animals.
Yeah. So let's see if anything has changed from the first interview till now. So who is your favorite character now?
My favorite character now is Toulouse.
Toulouse? Okay. Yeah. I gotta say the same.
Yeah. I love the way he tried to be a like a big bad alley cat, and how he like stuck his hair up and like, you know, arched his back, and he tried to, yeah, it was really cute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was cute. So who's your least favorite character now?
My least favorite character, I don't know that anybody like sticks out as any worse or any better than each other. Yeah, nobody really, like, I think they're all equal for me. Like, they're all just kind of characters, except for Toulouse, who I really enjoyed.
Okay.
Yeah.
What I'm going to say Fru Fru.
Yeah.
The horse, because she only has one basic function in the whole movie.
Yeah.
She stops Edgar at one point towards the end. Yeah.
She kicks him at one point, I guess. That's right. And then.
Yeah.
I don't know. But yeah.
She helps with the fight, but other than that, she's just there. I don't know. I don't know if they should have gave her a name. Really, really just tearing her down right now. I'm sorry. What's your favorite scene?
When I think back on the movie, I think about all those crazy colors. Like when they showed like the outside of Thomas O'Malley's house, and mm-hmm. when they were having the whole sequence, and I think about like the colors coming out and all that. And so I think that's my favorite, like, if I had to pause it, and like, that's my favorite scene right there.
Okay.
I think that's it for me, just because I'm more of like a, I like those visuals, and and so I'm a graphic designer, so I'm a visual person. So it really stood out to me.
Okay. I get that. Yeah. So my favorite scene has got to be when the geese sisters basically try to drown Thomas O'Malley.
Yeah.
That's definitely my favorite scene.
That was a great sequence. Yeah, for sure.
Do you have a least favorite scene out of all the terrible ones we talked about?
Oh my gosh. It has to be like both chases. Like, you can, I guess the last one, if I had to pick one scene, and like, I just felt like the chase between the dogs and Edgar again was just so unnecessary, and like, it really was like, I mean, kind of boring. I mean, nothing, because we already saw it. Like, we saw it once, and it's like,
yeah, here
we go again.
Okay.
I just thought about this scene too. We didn't talk about, but I remember when Thomas O'Malley tells the mouse to go get the alley cats, and he's like, "What?
Oh yeah,
I'm a mouse, and you want me to go to a bunch of like cats?" I thought that was a really, yeah.
Like, by the way, how did he know who Scat Cat was?
Yeah,
he never left the mansion until then.
Yeah. So yeah, how did he even find his way there and know who they were? But I thought that was really fun, because I was like, for sure, that mouse is going to get eaten.
Yeah. I guess my least favorite scene has got to be the beginning, because it was such a mess. We could definitely both tell that it was put in last minute, or it was just rushed or whatever. I hardly knew what was going on because of all the sketchiness, the continuity errors in there, the colors disappearing. Duchess looked different in that scene. Yeah, I just don't like that scene. I don't like the opening. So here's a question that I'm just going to add just for the fun of it, because I did have one myself. Do you have a favorite quote from this movie that just stood out?
Ooh, no.
There was quite a few, but this one stood out, and it kind of sparked something in memory, is when Lafayette, after he gets his basket taken away, he's like, "Where's my Betty Bye basket?" I don't know why, but that was like my favorite quote from the whole movie.
Okay. It was funny. I said, like that whole, like the beginning of that, where they were kind of, where he was trying to take back all of the evidence, that was really funny between the dogs. And like, I thought the dogs, like when they were talking, they were kind of funny. Where's my basket? That's funny.
So do you think this movie has a lesson at all? Because usually most of these Disney movies, basically the classic ones do have a lesson.
No, I don't. I mean, don't leave your fortune to your cats. But I don't know. That's not really the lesson.
I know. This probably does not have a lesson whatsoever. Yeah. I think they were just trying to put something out. If anything, it's just like, don't let greed consume you like all the other movies do.
Which was, I thought was like, so like Edgar seemed like fine at the beginning, but then he heard about like the cats getting all the money and he was like, well, it could all be mine, and like greed overwhelmed him. And I was like, wow, that was like, I don't know. He's really greedy, I guess. So.
Yeah.
Cause he's like, at first he seemed like a really nice guy, I thought.
Yeah, he seemed like pretty okay, and like he liked his life. It was pretty easy, and then all of a sudden it's like the cats get it. Just like, you should listen to that will. It's like, you basically still get the money, you just have to keep those cats alive, that's all.
Yep.
Because you have to have some kind of allowance to feed those cats and take care of the mansion, so
exactly.
Kind of get everything. What the heck, man?
I know, if he'd have just like... I mean, really, he could have just stayed there. Even if the fortune went to the cats, I mean, who's going to come and like, I mean, yeah, he didn't think that one through.
No, he did not. Do you find yourself watching this movie again sometime in the future?
No, probably not. If I want to watch something, it'll probably be like a clip of like the songs. Maybe if I ever want to listen to the songs again and watch that scene. Yeah, no.
The Disney sing-along cassette. You got to look that up. It has the two of the songs that you really like in there.
Yeah, okay. I'll have to look it up, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to be watching this again. I do have a young son who actually quite enjoyed this movie, but if I didn't buy it, I don't think he would know this exists, so.
Yeah, I was wondering how because you had said you watched it with him. I was wondering how he liked it.
Yeah, he loved it.
Reacted to it. Yeah.
Yeah, he loved it until one of the chase scenes, I think, like the first one. But then he was like really engaged in it. He's like, "Oh no, the dogs!" I'm like, "Okay, you really like this." It's out of all the movies that I've watched so far with this series, this is the one movie that he's actually engaged in.
Oh, wow.
Was watching all the way through. So that says something.
Yeah.
Now that you've watched it, what letter grade would you give this movie?
I think I might drop it down to a C.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Just because, I mean, there was nothing like, it didn't do it for me. Like, I mean, I won't go back and watch it again.
So I'm going to be that person and drop my score down more. And solid D.
Wow.
Yeah. I had some problems with this. Like, even though my son enjoyed it, he didn't know what was going on. But, like, from what I remember to what I watched, it was completely different because, well, I got my facts wrong, first of all.
Yeah.
And second of all, it's just, like, the fact that it was, like, updated for DVD and Blu-ray consumption, it made the movie worse, I thought. because you can see all the flaws and continuity errors that we probably couldn't have noticed if it was like still on cassette and the colors were kind of muted still. Half of it doesn't make sense. It doesn't fit the 1910 era. I'm just nitpicking, but honestly, I probably wouldn't watch this again because of all of that.
Yeah. Yep. Nothing. I mean, and I watched it with my wife and I don't think she was really engaged with it at all either. Like, I think she actually like started, she got on Facebook or something and started.
Yeah.
It
just doesn't keep your attention. I'm sorry, audience, but I just didn't like it. You can send hate mail my way. I don't mind, but I just did not like it.
So let me ask you, what if instead of an animated feature film, you got a two-part live action.
I read that too.
Story on the wonderful world of color in 1954.
How would they even do that?
That's exactly what I was wondering. And like this whole time, ever since I've read that, I've been wondering, like, how would they have done it? It would have been terrible, like worse than like now. And I don't know, it would have been really crazy.
Wait, I got an idea. The Cats of Disneyland. That's how they would have done it.
Wow.
Did you know about Aristocats too?
So I saw there was going to be the direct-to-video sequel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that when John Lasseter came on, he kind of cut all of those.
Ew.
Yeah. Yeah. The Disney Channel considered making a TV show.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I saw that somewhere that apparently they were like working on maybe a story of where the kittens were now teenagers and like kind of what their life was.
And yeah, we got Quack Pack instead, I think. That's what Corey and I thought of the Aristocats from 1970. Please let us know if you watched it recently or if you have any thoughts about it from your memories or anything, if you really enjoyed it, what your favorite character was, what your least favorite character was, what's your favorite quote from this movie? Like, did you have one like I did that was just random and in the middle of there and made no sense? Please let us know, like, what your overall letter grade for this movie is. If it's higher than ours or if it's lower than mine, that would be interesting. Thank you again, Corey, for joining me and trying to relive this very weird cat movie that Disney made.
Yeah, it was really fun. I'm glad I got to do this movie because I've in the back of my mind, I think about, or before I watched it again, I was thinking about the Aristocats and how I should watch it again one day. And now I know I'll never watch it ever again. Oh. So I can put that to rest.
That's some tough words right there. Sorry, Aristocats.
I mean, it still holds a little place in my heart. So, I mean, like, I just won't see it again.
Yeah. Unfortunately.
Yep.
Also, be sure to check out Corey's YouTube channel. It's One Little Park. Do you have a certain video that's coming up that you want to plug real quick?
I just put out a video on why Harry Potter is in Universal Parks when it seems like it's a franchise that would have been made perfectly for a Disney park. So I just put out a video on that, and then I'm going to take a few weeks off and getting prepared for my next video in June. So, but that's my most recent video.
Okay. All right. Be sure to check him out. Try to look up all his wonderful videos there. Subscribe. And that will do it for us today. Just remember, we just aren't watching movies. We are making memories. See you next time.